Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is LaToya Watkins, and her debut novel is called Parish. It is available everywhere now, and I've got to tell you, it is a fantastic read. It is a very tough read and takes on some very serious topics. And LaToya, before we get into the actual novel itself, a funny thing happened on the way to law school for you, and this book is the byproduct of that. What happened?
I ended up applying for the grad school instead, but before I even applied to law school, I had a cousin who told me I should write something. I should write a book. And I sat down and I did it in a very short period of time. And then I realized that I hadn't been trained to write. So I decided to apply to schools. And I thought that law school might be a good idea. And after applying at law school, and being accepted into law school, I was working for a publishing company, and they told me, I had an attorney there who told me, no, you don't want to do that. So I just went ahead and went to go to grad school, and that's how that book came about.
Well, this book it certainly had little hints of Pat Conroy's fantastic book, The Prince of Tides. It's a book that I probably haven't read in 20 years, but I've read it a couple of times. So can you kind of take us through this? Because this deals with a lot of family trauma brought on by incest. You take on some very heady topics that are relevant to our day. So kind of give us a little pitch on this.
I was a huge Pat Conroy fan when I was 12, so that's a thing. But it is essentially about a family coming together to say goodbye to the matriarch, and this reunion forces them to confront the past and ask themselves questions and each other some very important and hard questions, and essentially decide to move forward as a family or implode in on itself.
The main character, Helen Jean Turner, she was a very tough woman as I read her, because she was not dealt a great hand in life, but she made deal financially and at least trying to keep the family together. So when you wrote her and decided which children and grandchildren's viewpoints you're going to use, how did you pick and choose who would be the ones that would tell this story?
Oh my gosh, Brian, that was hard. The first draft of this novel had 15 or 16 narrators. So I had to go back and chisel down and remove children. But these children and grandchildren seemed to be the ones that needed the most, that needed her attention the most and got it the least. So these were the ones that I decided needed to come out and speak their truths in the story.
When, as I read it, it seemed like some of the grandchildren had a lot of their lives together, but yet there was this trauma overshadowing. Some of them would be, it's a terrible term, but I would call it the disposables of society, that someone that society wouldn't pay any attention to. And the gut-wrenchness, I don't even know if that's a word, but the gut-wrenching experience of reading that had to be twice or three times as hard writing that.
I'm so glad you touched on that. It was incredibly hard. I think I became someone else writing this book, because it's not just writing, it's also becoming, right? You become your characters. So to feel the things that they were feeling, it was something that I never thought I'd have to even imagine. So I cried a lot of tears over this family while writing this book.
And essentially, you had to get in the characters' heads, because a lot of it's told from first-person point of view. And so how did you get a dialect then and a voice for each specific character where it wouldn't sound like you were overlapping? Because it got to the point by the end of the book, I could tell which character was speaking without even looking at the name at the top of the chapter.
This was something that I worked on all throughout grad school when I was training to be a writer, because I wanted to be able to nail that with every character that I'll ever write. So I took on this term method writer. So I actually become the character. My partner is always asking, are we LaToya today? Because I actually put those characters on and take them out into the world and respond to the world in ways that I believe they would. I let them react to the world. But I also visit place because I think dialogue, I think the way we speak changes throughout the world, but throughout the U.S., and even throughout specific regions. Everyone has a specific dialect. So I do a lot. I'm fascinated by that, by accents and speech and speak in different places.
I have read books over the years that have been set in the South. This one's set in Texas, the fictional town of Jerusalem, Texas, but for the most part anyway. But, you know, books in the Hill Country up in Ohio and in Indiana, books set in the Carolinas, in the South. And authors always tell me, they tell the editors, the copy editors, don't mess with the words on the quoted things because I know what I'm talking about with the dialect. And so is that an editor's nightmare when you use a dialect from a particular region and maybe your editor's somewhere else and these are sentences you just can't diagram?
Yeah, my editor is actually a New Yorker. So I don't think it was a nightmare for the editor or the copy editor because I was opening to what they needed. I was open to what they needed as readers, and we would kind of make adjustments if needed in ways that didn't take away from what was in the quotation. So I thought it was a really good experience for me to hear what they were hearing and to repeat those things and say them out loud to kind of experience them as a reader myself.
I'm chatting with LaToya Watkins about her brand new novel, Parish. It is available everywhere, and that's Parish, P-E-R-I-S-H, not Parish like a Louisiana parish. And LaToya, as I read this book, I was fascinated by the place and the timing, because part of the book takes place throughout the 60s and 70s in the flashbacks, and then also the place of Texas. How important was having this book set in Texas, not just because of where you're from, but the way the story developed?
I think it was incredibly important because in as much as this is a small town that they're in, they are very isolated as far as who they see in their community because of the segregation in this particular region. So I think it was very important to a lot of the things that happened, a lot of the things that went missed in this family, and the way that these issues and these things were passed on. It wasn't just set there because I am from there, but because of that, my kind of research and fascination with the Great Migration and people who ended up not migrating to those great cities.
The first chapter of the book takes place in the mid-50s, and it takes place in an outhouse. And that struck me because living here in the Midwest where I do, I don't think there were outhouses in the mid-50s here. And so how did you capture the realism as to where to set that to make it realistic that there were still outhouses that would make this character could have possibly existed in the mid-50s?
When I used to visit my family in West Texas as a child, they had built on and added indoor plumbing, indoor bathrooms, and that sort of thing. But there was still a lot of outhouses on people's land and in people's, and they were kind of these shacks that were falling apart. But of course, as children, we would ask questions, what happened, or be given directives, don't go in there. There are snakes in that hole. So I was very familiar with the concept of an outhouse. All I had to do was go back and ask questions and do research of when these would have been the outhouses used as actual outhouses.
How did you pick the particular years of Helen Jean's life to tell the story? Because there were specific years in there that you used.
I think I chose those based on her age, like what age she would have been, because it was very important to start with her as a youth, and the ages that the children or the grandchildren would have been. Everything was connected to those things, like her proximity as far as age goes to her children, to her grandchildren, and what those things meant as far as their growing up or how they were developing or how things were passing on to them.
As I saw what Helen did to protect her family throughout the rest of her life, financially and just spiritually, I guess, I kept wondering, is she more taking on arrows and just trying to live day to day, or is she the one that could see the full picture? How did she come off to you as the main character and as what explains what she was trying to do?
To me, I felt like she didn't know what she was doing. She was doing her best to survive what had happened to her. And I think the moment that became clear to me was when she was in that truck with her brother, afraid to get out of that car because her father was on the porch. She was just trying to get from one day to the next and taking on all of these things that she was choosing to take on was just what got caught up in that.
As the grandchildren, and I always see this with grandchildren, you know, kids don't see their grandparents until they're dying. You know, when my grandmother died, I hadn't seen her for so long, and then all of a sudden she's dying, and everybody tries to go give her the big send-off. Was there any of that going on in this family? Because some grandchildren were there, some weren't. Some kids were there, some weren't.
Yeah, I think that's totally what was happening, and I'm glad that you said that, because I think that's what happens everywhere. Once grandparents start aging and children grow up and move away, then the death of those people is what might bring them back, but sometimes it doesn't. So I do think that was what was going on here.
Well, this was just a fascinating novel, and I read it slowly because I wanted to take it all in and not miss anything. The book is called Parish. It's a brand new novel by LaToya Watkins. The book is available everywhere now. LaToya, just a fantastic effort here. I took so much away from this, both emotionally and just as an entertainment value as well, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.